teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Well, I just want to start the program with what I opened the program with. I think I picked the wrong chapter for this program, where I tend to run off the rails. I chose the doorway to the bottomless pit. And I just want to give you the opening, but the sentences and the paragraphs are so complete, so tight in this chapter, that I'm not able to ad-lib the way I like to do it. And I was, while I was waiting for the, you know, for the music to stop, I was flickering through my book called Parallel Universe. And I was looking for another place to start. So, just for the hell of it, excuse me putting it that way, let me just show you how that this chapter 5, the doorway to the bottomless pit, let me read it to you, simple and pure, and then I'll take my caller after the break. That's going to give me just about 4 minutes. If the universe was truly created from the conceptualizations of God, it surely follows that we human beings and all that constitutes our reality are the direct result of our Creator's ego-tripping, in quotes, in the realm of his imagination. So this is it's a little point I want to make, because we're doing the same thing in our own heads. That is to say, he imagines the metamorphosed from thought stuff, imagined us into a solid thing, to tangible, living matter, complete with life cycles and orbits. In this case, we can truly say his thinking makes it so. But we do the same thing with our imagination, make things real. I try to make things real, first of all, in imagination, that's where it begins, but then it takes into a substance, a thing that happens, an outcome. Our outcomes are not that good, though, see, because we're playing God, and we don't have that magic. The Father in heaven knoweth what we need before we are. So when you close your eyes and meditate, for example, that's what I'm going to do to gentlemen in just a minute. If you close your eyes and just look at your eyelids, what you've just done, and this is so beautifully simple, is find a refuge from your thoughts. Because your thoughts, in your fallen state, your conscious mind, playing God. You can't play God and be in full sight of his presence. You burn. So you have to take refuge you have to fall into your emotions. You have to fall into the special excitement that gives you a sense of worth. It's pretty worthless. The idea that you can judge good and evil. And I said, if you think, apart from the light, that you know good from evil, you're a fool. Because the tendency is, you'll think a person who looks good is good, and therefore you marry them, or you trust them, and then they turn out to be bad. You think the person is bad, but because he looks stern and doesn't like you so much, or you don't like them so much, because they're probably nicer than you are, and so that makes you feel uncomfortable. So the minute you turn away from that person, but that's the person you should have gone with. Everything is backwards. You cannot really see without that inner light. When you're playing God, then God isn't shining a light on your path. He's not. He cannot be. You blocked it. And so then the idea, you have to then become intellectual about what right and wrong is. What you think is right. And everything you think is right is wrong. Sooner or later, you think you love people, and then all of a sudden people start taking advantage of you. And you get hurt, and you feel guilty. And you try again. Maybe try the same person. Maybe I haven't done, never loved them enough. But that's only the guilt that you got that makes you want to try harder to get that person to love you by loving them. And you get tangled. You cannot see clearly until the light is in you, and the purpose is of his purpose for you, his creation, you're created in his image, is fulfilled. My life, I can only say it just a few words. I don't have to make any decisions. It's all, I'm saved from having to make decisions. I have an intellect. I have knowledge in my head. And I don't study anything. I just become an observer. And the things that he wants me to remember, they stick in my mind. I don't have to try to remember anything. I have a fairly good vocabulary. I know read and write. I've written science books. But I've never lifted a book. I write the books. But I don't read to write. Intuition, that is it. That's my life. It's my story. And my work is individual. It stands apart.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
All right, now I'm going to talk to Mike in Arizona. That's where you are in Arizona, are you, Mike?
Yes, in Phoenix.
Oh, Phoenix, okay.
Before we start, could I ask, there's nothing wrong with...
Well, go ahead.
There's nothing wrong with not being ambitious, is there?
I've never been ambitious.
I've had interests, but not really...
I have interests, but those interests are inspired.
I see.
So in other words, for example, I'll give you, an example of my own story. That's the best thing I can do.
Please, of course.
I come from not a wealthy home, to say the least, or say the most. And so, but point is, I was born in the Depression. My father was, because he'd speak 11 languages and fix anything, but couldn't find work.
Wow.
But the good things happened. I don't want to tell a story about my dad because he was a wonderful example for me. But the thing is, I thought to myself, wouldn't it be nice if I could be a doctor or a physicist, you know, a scientist? Well, he died. So that squashed it. But that didn't disturb me, but I had good feelings for my dad, you know, and so I still have a love for him. The love of the father you can see is also the love of the father you cannot see. So when he died, my love for him transferred inwardly. You see that?
Right.
I mean, it's very simple. And so if you hate your father you can see, you're actually rejecting the father you cannot see. And
oh,
so,
no, I knew sometimes he couldn't help himself. I knew.
I know, but so your father ahead than you realize. That's why you can recognize where I'm coming from.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we're going to get you to stop smoking tonight.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So the thing is, but nevertheless, I got interested in something. I went to a vaudeville, believe it or not. And I only had $4 a week and gave $3 to my mother because I was a journeyman diamond cutter. That's the business of my whole family.
Very responsible.
So I'm a very good diamond cutter. So I know I cut diamonds in South Africa and everywhere else in America. And I did a lot of things and I earned a lot of money. But then I was able to finance my own what I wanted to do. But how it began was me just as a boy just saying, well, it'd be nice. Sure, I'd like to be that. But it was put in my mind to want it, to think of it as something, but not to make it happen. And so when my father died, that collapses. So then walking down a side street in Brighton, I went into this vaudeville, it was a new buck. And this hypnotist was doing this and that, and making people dance with brooms and silly stuff. I said, there's something to this. And my mind turned to Hitler. He did this to the whole nation. That's what's wrong with people.
So I've heard.
See, and I found out later on that 90% of the country, I can mesmerize, hypnotize. I've learned it. I'm good at. I'm not proud of that, but I know how to do it at 80-90%. You wouldn't even know I did it to you. That's how powerful it is. But it's because there's techniques. And the person doesn't know that they're living out what you're saying. And you can make people, you know, bend their knees of their mind to you. It's really awful stuff. But I've learned the other side of it. See, eventually, I became, when I went to the military, I got lots of practice. So it was 10,000 people in Maidstone, in southern England, and I was very well known for my prowess in judo and entertaining, and so, and it was so good. I never had to clean my rifle. I never had to clean my shoes. And the sergeant was jealous. So then. When I left the military and went to Africa and then came to America, and the long story, I opened the Institute of Hypnosis. And for there, I worked with people, and I had I wasn't an expert. There's no knowledge. I couldn't find a book that would teach me anything. And there's still a book. There's no books today that's worth a tinker's cuss. And so, but I discovered it. I actually, discovering it for myself, and I discovered the razor's edge between. There's two forces that suggest things to you. One is on one side of the razor, sharp razor, the razor's edge, and that is God. And the other side is when is to be seduced from God by stress. Stress is a code word for temptation.
Oh, I've had my share.
See that? And so that, and the person who's stressed is the sinner, who's the slave of the tempter. All who sin are slaves. It's in the Bible. It's right there. So stress is, I found out what stress was. Then I'd understand how to counter it. Then I learned that you can't counter, if a person's hypnotized or stressed, you sin, you can't save him. You can't save that person from their own mind yet. They can't save themselves, and nobody can. A hypnotist, a hypnotist comes along and suggests, I'll tell you a little story quickly, because I got a little time with you and there's nobody else, we're just you and I together. My first patient, his name was Dave. And 40 years later, his daughter called me up and said, "Are you Roy Masters on the radio?" He said, "No, my father, Dave, he's still better from his migraines. He just wants you to say hello to you." Anyway, he had migraines, terrible migraines, so he went to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist hypnotized him. And so when he opened his eyes, he says, "Your headache's gone." So Dave opens his eyes and says, "Yeah, it's gone. Thank you very much, doctor." And the doctor was hypnotized by the fact that he actually believed he took the headache away. What really happened is he made him say it. He made him say, "My headache's gone." So when as he put his hand on the door to leave the psychiatrist's office, he says to himself, "Why did I say that my headache's gone to that man? I've still got my headache."
Wow.
See? So the psychiatrist gets hypnotized, but to thinking he's actually cured somebody. But you can hypnosis is dangerous.
See.
It's a dangerous thing, but I'm glad I understand it. Because I know how to counter it. But you cannot counter a suggestion if you have a trauma of some kind, which is a hypnotic state.
Trauma.
And you're in dire despair and desperation, anxiety full of, and you're drinking and smoking. You've got all these symptoms. All the cures only make you worse.
I just wondered, Roy, I had two big ones. My father in Vietnam in 1966, he died, he got shot.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and then my wife died 7 years ago of brain disease.
Yeah.
Those are the two biggest traumas. I just wonder if they may have helped put me in this confusion.
Yes, you could.
Confusion.
Yes, you could. Because I'm married. I can jump forward a little bit. I'm married, but I don't need my wife. I don't mean to say callously.
No, I understand.
I don't have a psychological need. I'm not codependent.
Exactly.
Neither do I want her to be codependent, because that would make me a hypnotist.
Yeah, I don't like women being sycophants either. I hear
That's
you.
Right.
I hear you.
You see? So where was I? So what I learned was basically is that there's no cure for any disease under the sun. You can make people better to live longer, but they live longer. But if you don't stop the course of sin, if I may use it,
certainly,
that term, because I've defined the word as sin as responding to temptation, and temptation is stress.
I hear you.
And stress is temptation.
I hear you.
And so once you're tempted, you cannot come back on your own. You have to be saved. But nobody can save you. I can't save you. If I hypnotize you and take away the suggestions that you're a bad boy and I put it in your mind, now you're a good boy, you're dependent on me keeping that idea in your head going. Otherwise, it comes right back. And after a while, it does come back secretly, and you hate me. Because you put trust in me, and you feel better. All of a sudden, you get worse and worse and worse because what is inside your head is a lie.
See
that?
Yeah.
So I know my stuff, and so, that's how I came to understand what religion was in its purest sense, and what I'm going to be doing for you this evening is handing you over to your Creator in about 30 seconds.
Thank you, sir.
And it's not difficult. And I'll just show you how it's done. And it doesn't require any effort on your part. You really need, when you go into this thing that I'm going to, you won't feel like you're in anything. You know, but all that happened when you open your eyes, your things look a little brighter. But you have your cigarettes handy, don't you?
Yes, sir, ready.
Yeah, so that's it. So you are compulsive then, aren't you?
Excuse me?
You're a compulsive smoker.
Yeah, I hate to be controlled like this.
Yes, I know, but then you resent it.
Yeah.
And then you struggle with it, and it makes it worse.
Yeah, you're right.
I'll tell you how the work. Let me tell you how what goes on in your head. See, there's another person inside you, another self. It's just equal as it's just as invisible as God is. You see what I mean? But he operates the same way. He is able to move your thoughts.
And so, a dark side or what?
Yeah, a dark side. Everybody has one. Everybody has a dark side.
Yeah.
And everybody has something manipulating him. The dark side is a manipulator.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, so the way it manipulates you is, for instance, let's say sex, let's say eating, something that's more natural than cigarettes, but we'll come to the cigarettes in just a minute. And I think this is a nice conversation we're having because people understand this a little better themselves too.
Certainly, it's very balanced. So
we take, say, food, and that's kind of a natural thing to eat, but you eat too much. See, and then you take sex, which is a natural thing, but it, in excess, it's dangerous. It becomes addictive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I just lost the thought. But I'll get that thought back in just a minute.
Thank you.
Sometimes I wander a little bit, and then I have to forget what I wanted to say, but I'll come back to that just a second. All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
This is my commercial, but I'm going to talk through it to my friend here. I remember I was going to say to you, there's a tendency for you when you are upset, and the upset is temptation and separates you from your Creator, and it gives you an anxiety. And there's a lot of anger in there. If as a smoker, you've got lots of anger. There's a little tiger in there. And if you stop smoking, you're going to feel the tiger. See? You're going to feel that angry feeling inside. Smoking calms down. It chemically calms you down and gives you a feeling of patience when you're not really. And there's a lot of anger inside there. But you may not realize that because you smoke it. But after you meditate, you'll see it. You actually see it, and it goes away. But what it does, when it comes to the natural things like eating and sex, not smoking, we leave the smoking alone, and I'll bring it in just a minute, is that you get hungry for food. And after you start to eat, and you enjoy the eating, and you're getting fatter and fatter. But after a while, you find that the more you eat, the more you want to eat. And the more it satisfies, the more it gratifies, the more you're blocking reality. It's your fulfillment. You're fulfillment. See, so you feel satisfied, but every satisfaction leads to a rejection. So eating more and having more sex than you should and more excitement than you should, it makes you feel better. So you don't have to have God to make you better. You've got things to make you feel better because. So the ego thing inside you wants you to keep eating and eating and becoming more sensuous because you're developing a sensuous self. A sensuous being is being shaped in you. It's getting hungrier and hungrier and it's an animal creature in conflict with the human potential. See that?
I see.
And the human potential is following you all the way to the grave, but it feels like the enemy. And it's the enemy that makes you think it's the enemy and makes you think that the drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, it makes you feel better. And if it makes you feel better, you are better. It's not true. It gives you an illusion that you're alive and well, okay, when you're not. And so then it's, but when you try to stop smoking, you realize you stop eating, you can't. And so then you struggle with it as if, but it tends to make you struggle with it because it knows if you struggle with it, it'll make you worse. And it really, it tells you secretly. But who else is going to save you and help you? You're a responsible person. You have to struggle with this, and you have to be responsible and quit smoking, quit drinking, quit it. And so the more you struggle, the worse you become because you're still playing God. See that? It's tempting.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
It's nice talking to a person who listens. The mic is still there. Look, don't you see that if you just look at your own life and see that you really want to stop smoking, you really want to be a good person, you know that's not good for you.
No, I know that.
So therefore, but when you stop smoking, it starts to pull on you. And it starts to pull. But let me go to the food. That something will say, well, that's, you know, the feelings you have to drink, to eat, to make sure that they're natural things. They are natural things. So it will tell you these are only natural. Sex is only natural. Especially with sex, it will give you the idea that the more is better, and it isn't. Just like any more food is not better.
That's right.
So it gives you the illusion that more is better. And then but you know there's something wrong, so you wanna stop. But it says, well, look, this part of you says, but it's only natural. Don't you understand? It's only natural to have more sex. This is easier to say with sex. It's more natural to say. So you go ahead and try to stop. Basically, it's whispering this to you not so much with words or anything. It sort of suggests it to you that you should go ahead. I'll show you that it's natural. Go ahead and try to quit. Well, the more you try to quit, the hungrier you will become for it. Yeah, and the hungrier you become for it, the more you struggle. And the more you get angry with yourself in order to do it, because you need energy to overcome something, and energy is the only, and animal energy is the only got, all you got. So you struggle with the animal energy.
I see.
And then you get worse.
You need spiritual energy.
Yeah, you need spiritual energy. To,
I see.
And that comes from within you by being still.
I see.
See that? It's easy to talk to you. Why is that so easy to talk to you?
Mm, very good. Makes a lot of sense.
It does. But it makes it, it always tricks you into thinking that you'll be responsible and you have to try harder. And it's such a natural thing to do the wrong thing that so the harder you try, there you are. You're worse off and you're going to do it anyway.
I know. I've tried before and it's still here. I hear you. I know.
It's the same game it plays with everybody.
I hear you.
Okay, so you got your cigarettes handy?
Yes, sir.
Let's just be honest. Do you need a cigarette? Could you use a cigarette right now?
Well, not really, but it's just sort of an addiction.
I'll tell you what we'll do.
Like an addiction.
Close your eyes.
Yes, sir.
And get your cigarette lighter and cigarettes handy just a minute, because we're going to check out something.
Got it.
We're going to spend 3 or 4 minutes at this. With your eyes closed, what do you see? Well, you see something with your eyes. You're looking at your eyelids.
Yes.
And when you're looking at your eyelids, who's doing the looking? Ah, you see. For instance, if you just let me amplify this.
Go ahead.
If you can see an image in your brain, you can see images in your mind, can't you? Then, if you can see the image, the light must be shining on it, as you couldn't see it. Then, who's looking at it? See, it's not your eyes, but your body and your eyes is part of your fixtures. And you're used like an animal. But you can actually see thoughts. And those thoughts are lit up. And that's what we want to get you to see, so your thoughts are lit up and not blocked by your smoking. Got that? And if you can allow yourself to see your faults, which is what you're going to be able to do soon easily, and then you'll be over it. As all you have to do is face the faults. You're not perfect. But the whole concept of everybody is we don't want to be wrong. We want to feel good.
Oh, no, I don't mind.
I know you don't. I know you're deep down inside. You're following me. I get it. But you understand people don't understand like you, me, like you do understand me. They don't.
No, I'm a searcher.
You're a searcher. That's the reason why.
I've always been.
Yeah, the average person.
I don't know why. You're a pretty pleasant man.
I am. But it sounds, what I'm saying is painful to my listeners.
Well, I love the truth. I love the truth.
Yeah, but it's not painful to you. See, that's it. It relieves you.
Yeah.
Says beauty.
I have only one question about smoking. What, if we do quit, what about a substitute?
No, you don't need
a substitute.
No, you won't need anything.
Ah.
You'll see. You'll see. Because what you have, you'll have what's missing.
I see.
And you're not the fool that's filled anymore.
Yeah.
See this?
Gosh, yeah.
You have all the energy and all the love and all the life and all the health you need. And all your emotions are regulated.
I am ready.
See? So if you close your eyes, it's very simple. It's ridiculously simple.
Well, I haven't closed. I hadn't closed since you said it.
Okay, now if you look at your eyelids, you see like little movements across the screen of your mind. It's like you're looking at the middle of your forehead.
Okay.
And if you're looking at, now you're an observer, aren't you? You're observing, what you're looking at is the surface of your brain, actually.
I see.
All those little pixels, those colors that are moving, it's hard to describe what they are.
Okay.
But that's your new programming, in case you didn't know it.
Okay.
If it isn't blocked, that's your conscience shining on your brain, and it's the energy of light. It's like your satellite for your TV set.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't see anything coming from that satellite up in the sky, 200 miles, geosynchronously moving with it. So, but you can't see any of the information coming into the dish, but your computer or your television understands that language. Your body understands the language of what's playing out on your mind. That's the language. Now, I show you where it is now. I show you now where the feeling of that is. So if you're looking at that, you don't see your thoughts there. You've left your thoughts behind. All you're seeing is the little pixels moving. I don't know what to call it pixels. It's got different colors.
Okay.
So now you're not looking at thought. But now you're just looking at the surface of your brain, like the surface of the moon, I suppose. Now, with your be aware now of the first finger of your right hand. And just give your awareness to it. Just notice that it's there. You weren't aware of it just a few minutes ago because I was talking to you about you looking at the forehead. But now be aware of the finger of your right hand, your first finger. And just being aware of it will cause it to tingle. And the finger is saying, I'm feeling the energy of your awareness. And the finger signals back with a tingling finger to let you know that it's being noticed. See that? And now there's no effort. Now shift your attention to the second finger. Do the same thing.
Okay.
Just shift the attention away from the first finger to the second one. You can leave it there, the first wing, if you want to.
Okay.
But go to the second one, and that tingles just a little bit, right? That's energy.
I really can't be sure, but I think.
What?
That it's tingling.
Yeah. No. It actually will tingle. Just be aware of it.
Okay.
Just notice. For instance, let me just be aware of your nose.
Okay.
Well, you can actually, all of a sudden, you feel your nose is there.
Okay.
See that? Be aware of your ear. All of a sudden, the ear will begin to just tingle. It tells you that it's there.
Oh.
See?
Gee.
See that? All right. So, it's the same thing. Just give your attention. Give it attention like you have your child cries for attention, and if you love it, but if you deny it or you get impatient with it, the child gets worse if you ignore it. I want you to be aware of your body, beginning with your finger of your right hand. It says the significance. When we come back, just sit where you are for a few minutes, and we'll just a second. I'm going to go through this commercial. We're going to go through it. I tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to put my caller again. Never mind the commercial. I'm going to the station. If they want to put a commercial here, that's fine with me. That's what they do sometimes. But I'm going to take a chance that they're not, because it's the middle of the night. And are you there, Mike? Just keep doing this. So let's go through it. You're aware of your eyelids, and it looks like you're looking at the middle of your forehead, really. But and you can see these little movements. Can you see the movements in the middle of your forehead?
I see some freckles.
That's it. That's what I'm saying. Little flickers. I can't describe it. Yeah. It's different for everybody.
I see.
Okay, but it is like, but you're looking at it, and what it is that, let me explain it to you so it's not just hocus pocus. It's because without you realizing it, you found a refuge from your thoughts, from your feeling-based thinking. You have a problem with feeling-based thinking.
See?
That's not healthy. That's an animal.
See,
we wanted to reverse that. We want our thinking to come, our knowing to come from the inside and to generate energy outwardly.
Right.
See that? Okay. But as long as you're lost in your head, struggling with your thoughts and your problems, you are making yourself worse, and you're drawing upon the energy of the animal to struggle with, and then you're becoming more of an animal, less than a human, see? And then you have anxiety increases. You cannot save yourself from this. No, you cannot save yourself from anything. And so what it is a creator. And the creator, now, when you're sitting looking at the middle of your forehead like that and making your fingers tingle, and we will go back to that in a minute, but I'm still in the explanation state because I think you're the sensible person that likes the explanation as well, which I don't normally give to everybody.
Of course, sir. Thank you.
And so that makes, because you give more validity if I explain it to you. What your consciousness has happened to is you're in a refuge. You're standing, you're no longer in your thoughts. You've left your thoughts behind. And now you're looking at the surface of your brain where your thoughts are. Your feeling, thinking self. So that's a refuge, because whatever is dark in there cannot reach you. Whatever is light in you shines through your lens, because your consciousness now is free from its material self.
Good.
See that? And that's right there. It's right there. And so the minute you're free, the light can shine through your consciousness like a lens. And that's what you're looking at when you're looking at the surface of your brain. When you see that, that's what we're seeing. And those pixels they're just like the information that your body needs that you know nothing about. I have food to eat, you know nothing about. See that? That is the energy, and it's very gentle. It's on the surface of your brain, and because you are standing back from it, you're allowing it now. You're not blocking it with it. You're not blocking it with anything. If you were in your thoughts, then your brain, but then you wouldn't be there. If you were lost in your thoughts, the spirit, I don't know how to describe what a spirit is, but it's not flesh. It is spirit. So now all of a sudden it's where it should be. It's freed from the flesh, from the thinking, from you left your thoughts behind. Now the light can shine through that crystallized lens, that free self, onto, and everything starts to work. And the tingling of your fingers, if you do that while we go through the music here, I will ask you to open your eyes and open your cigarettes and see what happens.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
So I'm back with Mike, and if the stations have blocked it with a commercial, you just have to imagine, you know, that we've just been talking more about this, and we will talk more about this later on too. But I'm talking to my friend here.
Thank you for your time, sir.
So it's fine. You opened your eyes yet?
No.
Okay, just make sure go through one more round of going through the fingers. You see what's happening is the energy is coming through that crystallized, that pure consciousness that's separate from the entanglement with emotions, which distorts everything.
I hear you.
See that? So So that's the reason why you can see the surface of your mind, but you can't read it. You can't transcribe any more than you can take a thumb drive and figure out what's going on there. But the computer knows how to bring up a big, nice picture, right?
Yeah.
See, that's the analogy. It's a pretty good analogy.
Sure is.
So therefore, if you just stay there, make your fingers tingle just a little bit, go from one finger to another, and see, the fingers do tingle. I can make my fingers as I'm talking to you and do the same thing. It's not very noticeable. It just feels tingly. That's it. And the energy is now going into your body. And if you sit quietly enough, and this is sufficient time, I don't have to tell you about smoking or anything like this. I don't have to suggest anything. Now, even open your eyes now and take your cigarettes out.
Okay.
And you can see what happens when you light it up.
Okay.
And do you have any? Do you notice that the room is brighter? And the room seems just a little brighter.
You know, I'm just not one to exaggerate or lie.
No. I'm only asking you.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Well, that's not a big deal. Just okay. See what happens to cigarettes.
Well, I just lit it.
And
both.
And what did it taste better or worse?
I never liked smoking anyway, so I don't know why I'm doing it.
So?
It tastes as bad as it always has.
And but you don't. Have you tried inhaling it?
I don't inhale much. I smoke it kind of like a cigar.
Oh, I see.
So
it doesn't do it doesn't do so much damage.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I tell you what. You like my explanation?
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
so you have the device, right?
Yes, sir. I ordered it.
Yeah. I think the best thing for you to do is on your own. Because when I give this device, I give it in the form of a CD to the military, and how they is meant to use it is that they take it and use it with no human interference, and it's between them and God, basically. Although we don't say that,
I see.
We don't bring him in there, but he's there.
Well, as a son of a veteran, I thank you for that.
Yeah, but you have a clearer mind at least, don't you?
I've always had a clear mind, sir. It's just frustration in my life.
Okay, but the frustration is your struggle.
Yeah.
And you have to see, now you have to learn not to struggle.
I hear you.
You've got to learn. If you struggle, all you're going to do is make it worse.
I know. There's got to be an easier way.
And the meditation exercise will keep you from struggling.
Thank you.
That's all it does.
That's good. I need it.
Okay.
Glad I ordered.
Okay. Call me back. Call me back in a week or two, because the lady this morning... A little while ago, no, it's not this morning yet, but she's only been doing it for about a week or two, and she's already over her drugs.
How can you be sure, though? They're being truthful to you, though.
No, I know they are. They don't know. No, you can hear it.
I see.
I can just hear you being truthful.
I see.
See, I can hear you. You can hear me being truthful.
Of course.
Of course you can. You can tell.
Like-minded people, thank you.
Well, I've been doing this for 54 years on radio, so I know it really works. There was an article. If you go to my website, I think you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
If you touch the Drudge Report, you've heard of Drudge, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, he came out twice and recommended it to everybody because he knows it works.
I only listen to Dr. Savage.
Michael Savage. Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. He's not one of my favorites because I know him better.
You don't like him?
No, I don't dislike him. I don't like him.
Never mind.
I just prefer not to say anything.
Never mind, sir. Sorry. Let's not go there.
Not go there.
All right. Forgive me. I appreciate the device, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. And I'm going to talk to another lady. I talked to another lady. Not this gentleman's the lady. Sorry. All right. We're going to go to Caroline and we'll come back from the music.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Well, we have another caller, and the subject now is ambition, so I may be able to get my points across. So I tried to start talking about, ambition when we had interruptions, but they weren't on the subject matter, so I got derailed. But it's all right. And we've had a decent program this evening. And there's some very nice people that's called in, and I enjoyed speaking to that last gentleman. Now, I just want to mention to you, in case you do not know about the event that's about to take place, the Healing the Hypnotic Pressures of Life. To be simple, if I may bring up Jesus, if you don't mind, he didn't heal every kind of disease, as you think. Or the reason why he could heal every kind of disease wasn't that he was treating every kind of disease like your doctor. This is, I'm a specialist in this disease and that disease. No, he was the root of all diseases. He was dealing with the roots called faith. Because we don't have faith, that's what we've lost our faith. We lost our way, basically. And we're driven by another force. And the energy of our engine is the animal energy of stress. Once we fall to stress, we are addicted to it. And once we get addicted to it, it begins to shape us. And as an animal in conflict with a human. And you may not like that. But we use stress. We get angry at this and angry at that to make things happen. Damn this and damn that, judging, things like that. The energy you use is the energy that makes you sicker. You've got to have energy to overcome something, don't you? There's only two kinds of energy, from within, salvation energy. There's only two powers in the universe, good and evil. You're going to know there's good and evil. Even an evil person knows the good and evil, don't you? You evil people know there's good and evil. But you think evil is good, and you think good is evil. That's you're on the left, your left-wing nut, you know, pardon the expression. You're a socialist, communist, or a fascist. Yeah, there's two different kinds of socialists. One is more subtle than the other. One's more feminine. It takes a lot longer to get you. It takes their time. All right, we'll be right back.
At 1-800-866-8883.
I've got a funny feeling that I didn't mention, even though I started to mention it, the Radisson Hotel event. I'm giving a healing, the Hypnotic Pressures of Life, a whole day seminar. And it's the Radisson Hotel next to the airport, LA Airport. February the 2nd, we start at 9 o'clock, open at 8, all day. So go to my website, fhu.com, and just check it out. Thank you. All right, we're going to take our caller, Caroline. Hello, Caroline. What can I do for you?
Good evening, Mr. Roy.
Oh, thank you. Good evening to you.
This is probably trite, but maybe it'll help somebody. When I meditate, I can't see the pixels, but I cry, I growl, I choke, I snarl, my face contorts.
Oh, you're on your way.
Something is definitely going on, but
yeah, something is going on.
The pixels and the light.
Well, did it happen immediately you started to do it, the very day you started to do that? Did that happen?
I've been meditating for years. I'm ashamed to admit, but that's my journey.
Okay, fair enough. You may need an exorcism.
Okay, I had one a couple of years ago at the ranch, the 4th of July seminar on the 2012, a couple of years ago.
And how long did that last?
It lasted a year.
Yeah, but when you have an exorcism, you're moving forward, and it could be moving forward to another one. So then another one, you can entertain more than one entity.
I understand. understand that. Yeah. I just get concerned because I don't see the pixels.
I don't see why you don't. Close your eyes. And all you have to do is close your eyes and say, no, I can say, what do you see? You got to see your eyelids.
You know,
What do you see, though? But what do you see when you close your eyes?
I see a reflection of, a reverse reflection of what was in the room, like the doorway.
Oh, you have to, but what you need to do is wait for that to, I understand that makes sense. That's a sensory reaction. Everybody has that. I could do that, but it doesn't last very long, goes away. And with you, it lingers too long. And because you're addicted to focusing your mind away from your problems on material things. I remember, I can just say a little story about the first time I got upset. And I was in the Institute of Hypnosis, and something upset me. I don't know what it was, but I'm not used to being upset. And so I just walked out of there and went to the local drugstore. You know, there was a milkshake bar there in those days. We had milkshake bars. And I was looking at the bill of fare. And I started to read it. And I kept on reading it and reading it and reading it. I said, what the hell am I doing this for? I began to realize that while I was reading it and studying it, it was a distraction from the pain of my resentment. See that? So you are so overreactive, so that when you close your eyes, the things that you see are still dancing around in your head. But don't be impatient with it; it will go away.
Oh, okay.
You feel relief, don't you? What caused that excitement?
Talking about going to the store, I started to breathe funny and shake a little bit.
Yes. Well, we're talking about distraction, aren't we?
Oh.
We're talking about distraction, which keeps you from seeing clearly.
Okay.
See, my example, I was distracting myself. I didn't have a whole lot of skills in being distracted. I just all of a sudden find myself doing it, which is a sort of a learning curve, and which is a very dangerous learning curve, because after a while you can't when you close your eyes, you can't forget anything. It keeps playing around. But I was able to see that, catch it right away, and I was over it. Just let those images go away. Don't be impatient. Don't get me upset. Just watch them until they go away. And you'll be okay. And does that make sense to you? Are you okay with that now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. God bless you. Yes, I'm just going to, since we're getting very close to my coming out of the closet, so to speak. I don't know if that's a good thing to say, but I haven't been giving seminars. I'm not a young man, you see, so. And, but I decided we need money to stay on the air. It is a fundraising thing. I like doing them. I like doing these seminars. So we've got room for 700 people. And normally we have 400 or 500. I think we haven't done it for such a long time. And the cost is not very great. And I think you're going to really find that Sunday you come on the 2nd of February, Sunday. And please be there at 8 o'clock and... You don't have to get tickets from the foundation because it would be too late to send tickets. You can get tickets at the door. And that's what we normally do. We didn't ever use tickets before, but we just make sure you get them so you can go and have lunch and come back in again. Or you can give your ticket to someone else if you don't like what I'm doing. All right, so it's healing the hypnotic pressures because pressure and stress is the reason for your illness. And as I said a little while ago, it became a very clear epiphany to me that Jesus didn't deal with all the different diseases like the different branches of medicine, from your toes to your nose. You know, everybody treats a little piece of your body as if the piece of the body is the problem, when it's the root of everything is the lack of faith, And now may you have faith and you still got cancer, but then you haven't got real faith. Yeah, I mean, you're honest. You may think you have faith, and you may think you're a real Christian. You may not be. You may be deluded that you are. And you may be such a sweet person, everybody loves you. And you play to that, but they don't realize they're enabling you to get sicker. And secretly, deep down inside, you resent them because you sense it, but you can't explain it to them. You hate the people that you hate the people you love. And you have to put on a nice face because that's the only love you know how to... that's the only love you've ever known, but it's killing you. See, so we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
I like doing this program. I like meeting people like this. And so we've got another caller on the line. It's Richard. Hello, Richard in California.
Hi, Roy. I'll be there on the 2nd. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to seeing all of you.
Good. Wicked mother, just a horrible person. I have to admit I do hate her. Tricks me for the 5,000th time, offering me all this money because I avoid her.
Do you take the money?
No, but I did fall for it. And then she said, "Not took too long, you know," and blamed me and insulted me. And she said, "I bought a CD instead. You took too long. It was a trick." And I handle it a lot better thanks to the foundation. I've been listening for a while. But
how old are you?
I'm 50.
How does your mom become the reflection of what's in her? And your life will be ruined.
I see.
It's already being ruined, isn't it?
It is.
Well, you see, what you need to understand that she wasn't born that way. And she couldn't be born that way. No child comes into the world like that. It's because she was broken as a kid, you know, all the way up to where she is now. And she can't help it, in all her anger and frustrations to what happened to her, is to take her frustration out on you or your father.
My dad cheated on her too.
Yeah. But she's willful. She wants it. She wants something from you. You know, it just seemed like she'd want to buy your affection, and then have contempt for you for it. But you need to let your mother go. You need to really, there's something in you that ties you. Something, your reaction ties you to her as a slave. Because resenting your mother makes you separate you from God. Keeps every time you're tempted, whoever it is. There's a Bible, the Ten Commandments is a very interesting, one of the commandments is honor your mother and father. It doesn't say, if they're honorable, because she's who you came through. So something to be said that you're alive here. She didn't abort you, sort of thing. And so she brought you into the world, no matter how crazy she is, she brought you into the world. But you must understand that that she wasn't born that way. And any more than you were born with your problem with your mother. Because if you have problems with your mother, you can have trouble with all the women in your life. You will never find happiness if you don't know how to deal with your mother properly. If you don't deal with your father properly, actually your father's first. And so you really need to forgive your parents, for they know not what they do. They're so broken they're not even aware they're not themselves anymore. They're not aware of what they're doing. They just think there's something wrong with you. And sometimes they're so wicked, they tempt you to be worse than them. They give you a hard time, so you get to overreact to them. And they never, whenever what you do, you're never going to be satisfied. They play all kinds of head games with you, because there's something feeding on you in them. So when your mother gets that old and she's mean and she's cantankerous, she's dangerous. She's dangerous to your mental health and spiritual health and your afterlife. You mustn't hate her. You have to learn to drop that anger and have compassion on her, because she cannot help herself. She really cannot help it. She may not be there anymore. She may have been displaced by something else. So there's no more mother. There's something else in there occupying that body. If you've ever been to an old person's home where they sort of a government a warehouse for dying people, have you ever been to one of those places?
Yes.
And you ever see the distortion? They don't look human, do they?
No.
They're not. They're all possessed. They've taken the shape of dark side.
Is there any advantage of explaining to her?
No, you can't explain. If you try to explain anything to her, she will take offense.
I see.
Am I correct?
Yeah, you can't make her happy.
Yeah, no. I'm not quite sure what you said, but the point is, if you try to reason with the devil, he will confuse you. He will take offense. People who are possessed take offense at truth. If you try to show them a little bit of truth, they'll reject you, cringe, create all kinds of problems with you.
Exactly what she does.
Well, what's that background noise?
I'm at a payphone.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I hope that's been helpful, young man.
You have.
Do you think you can let your mother go and go just visit her once in a while? I hope you're not living with her, are you?
No.
Well, that's good. So put her in a place where they take care of her and go visit her once a week.
Okay.
And see if you can sit quietly to her, and see if you can, when you do go to see her, see if you can stay calm and sort of, and let her yell and rant and rage, let her vent. And without reacting to the venting, you're like the father she never had. There might be some hope for her yet. Got that? Because there's nobody else going to be interested. The only person that would be interested in helping her is her son, and you don't know how to do that yet, and I just explained it to you. Right? It'd be good for you, too, to do that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's the end of this hour. I just got 2 minutes to say a few things to you about my... Well, I would like you to, if before you come to the seminar in Los Angeles, February the 2nd, it's a Sunday, 2014, just so in case, you get it 5 years from now, I'm pushing up the daisies. So it doesn't do any good. So we stamp that with 2014. Radisson Hotel Airport, next to the airport, LA Airport. And you get information over the weekend. We're closed, the foundation's closed, but on Monday you can get information if you want to, if you don't have a computer. But if you do have a computer, you go to fhu.com and one of those fading panes, the little squares with the pictures of them, they fade in and out with different features. One of them is the meditation. I mean the seminar. The healing the hypnotic pressures of life. And it's very important to not yield to the pressure, but be a pressure on the pressure. Do you understand what I just said? So if you try to pressure me, and I don't react to the pressure, you can't eat me. See, that's what the pressure is meant to. A person gets a certain pleasure out of you making you fail and watching you suffer. That's what it is. Can't help it. And some people are really good at it and powerful at more, and honest about taking pleasure in hurting people and bullying them to get their way. But you're all subject to that, or your whole life. In one way or the other, we'll help you cure that.